Welcome to session 11 of Sell Like a Pro. I think it's fair to say that this is the session you've all been waiting for, because our topic here is something that seems to represent the whole process of professional selling. We're going to discuss closing, and closing is selling in the minds of many people. This belief may not be completely accurate or fair, but when the average person thinks of professional selling, the first thing that comes to mind is closing techniques. This is simply what selling means to most people. It's finding ways to get the buyer to sign on the dotted line. It's the payoff for all the hard work you've done. This is when you put the ball in the basket and hit it over the fence all at the same time. And if many of the methods for making that happen seem manipulative or even unethical, well, that's how some people think of selling itself. Which may be unfair, but saying it's unfair is not enough. As a sales pro, part of your responsibility is to change this mistaken view of our profession. And at the same time, of course, you also have a responsibility to close sales. In this session, you'll learn how to resolve that dilemma. We're going to see how a sales pro gets orders without compromising personal values. We're going to look at sales closing tools that are honest and non-manipulative, and also unquestionably ethical. What's more, we're going to see how the sales process itself, if done correctly, can actually eliminate the need for any closing techniques at all. The sale will literally close itself, but you must create the conditions in which that can happen, and you have to be a real sales pro to do that. Let's get started by looking at just two of the literally hundreds of closing techniques that have evolved over the history of the sales profession. When you consider how many of these techniques there actually are, trying to close a sale begins to look like trying to get rich at the racetrack. There are so many theories and so much information, and you begin to wonder whether any of it can possibly work. Or maybe all of it can work, in the hands of a truly expert salesperson. It's less about the tool and more about the person who's using it. You can make up your own mind about that. Many sales techniques are designed to close the deal as quickly as possible. In fact, it's a time-worn axiom of sales that you should always be closing. You should always be alert for an opening that will get a buying decision. In fact, one of the most powerful closing techniques starts from the assumption that the buying decision has already been made. The salesperson acts as if the customer is already committed, and only the details need to be worked out. If customers want to refute that, well, the burden of proof is on them. In order to put the assumptive close into action, the salesperson starts asking a new level of questions. In effect, the discussion is no longer about whether the buyer wants something. Instead, it's about how many they want, what size they need, when they want it delivered, and so forth. Will next Monday be soon enough? What address shall we use? Will 20 boxes be enough? Those are the kinds of questions that define the assumptive close. It's really a matter of acting confidently as if something is true, so that it's hard for the other person to deny this. For a buyer to say you're wrong would almost seem like an antisocial act of aggression.
To expand on the assumptive close, there are several techniques that would be appropriate once you've assumed they're ready to move. You can certainly use a direct question, are they ready to go forward to this? Assumptive, though, means that maybe you'll offer them an alternate choice. Do you want the red or the blue? Is this cash or credit card? And so you're offering them a choice, the answer to which is always a yes. So alternate choice closes are assumptive, so are minor point. A minor point assumes that the bigger decision has already been done. So ask some question that might relate to a minor point. How do you want your name on the contract would be an example of a minor point close. You can also use the next step method, which is assumptive, which assumes you've already made the decision, so you start explaining what the next step is. The next step is to do the assessment. The next step is to lay out the room. So what is the next step? And then, of course, there's an opportunity. When there's a window of opportunity passing by, then it's your responsibility as a sales professional to tell them about this opportunity. It might be a price discount for a certain number of weeks, or maybe this quarter we're discounting 10% if your order is over $2,000. The opportunity close is also assumptive.
But now, just to show the range of closing advice that we mentioned a moment ago, let's look at a technique that's the direct opposite of the assumptive close. We'll call it the adjournment close. Instead of behaving as if the buying decision has already been made, the salesperson backs off to give the customer plenty of additional time. The logic goes like this. You can see that the clients are not going to decide now, but you have created enough interest so that you're reasonably convinced that they will seriously consider the sale and are likely to come back. In fact, given some more time, they may buy more, if, for example, they're at the edge of a budget cycle and current funds are low. The relationship is important to you, and forcing a quick decision now could affect the chances of making sales in the future. Also, you may not need to close the sale today. You've achieved your quota, and this deal would be just fine for next month. So set up another meeting when you could be able to get a signature just because time is on your side. Here's how to verbalize this. You might say, "This is an important decision for you, and I think you need time to consider how important it really is. Shall we discuss the details further next time I see you?" Or, "I can see you're thinking very carefully about this. Shall I come back next week to see how you are progressing then?" Offering an adjournment can be a nice surprise for a buyer who is starting to feel pressured or who may be expecting a harder style of selling. At the same time, this can create a sense of positive obligation. You're encouraging the buyer to pay back your offer of time by agreeing to the deal later. So between the assumptive close and the adjournment close, what's the best way to proceed? We'll take a look at the whole process of closing in just a moment. In professional selling, a close is a process used to bring your customer to a decision. If all goes according to plan, the decision will be yes. But even if the decision is no, a close has still taken place, as long as the sales presentation has been brought to an end. Since the close is the process of helping your customer make a decision, many sales trainers assert that everything you say during the presentation should be directed toward closing the sale. You begin closing the sale when you first meet your customer. From the very beginning, all of your talking, thinking, and action is directed toward closing. In a nutshell, this is the axiom we mentioned earlier. You should always be closing. The truth is, however, that the very best close is a really outstanding presentation. When you create excitement and desire for your product through an enthusiastic and excellent meeting, a yes in the final close is almost assured. Always be aware that your techniques of salesmanship don't exist for the purpose of manipulating or coercing a buyer. Instead, you simply have more knowledge than your customers about how your product will fulfill their needs, problems, and desires. So it's important that you use your tools of salesmanship to show them how you can do that. You're providing a service in the truest sense of the word. The philosophy of sales closing really goes to the heart of human nature. There's a basic instinct to put things off. Many people avoid making decisions, even if the decisions could be to their own benefit. Because of that, many things that could be accomplished never are. Another basic human instinct is that people fear making the wrong decision. Because of this, people will put off making any decision at all. Many buyers will actually want to order your product or service, but with a habit of not making decisions, they will hesitate at the end of your presentation. It is very important that your customers make a decision, whether it be a yes or a no, so that you can react to that decision and respond appropriately.
I'd just like to talk for a minute about cognitive dissonance. And all that is that it's an uncomfortable feeling when two contradictory ideas are coming together simultaneously. As people are approaching the commitment, they're starting to get more and more uncomfortable. So a skilled sales professional will understand that this dissonance and our human nature is to bring us back into our comfort zone. If you understand that, you can help to facilitate the commitment and not manipulate it.
Traditionally, closing involves several specific steps that take place at various points in the presentation. So-called trial closes are among these steps. The theory of trial closes is that it's easier for a customer to make decisions on minor points than to immediately confront the final one. Trial close questions give you an indication of where the buyer is in terms of ordering your product or service. It's a way of taking the temperature of the sale in general, and of the buyer in particular. Some trial close questions might sound like these. Can you see how having graphical tools built directly into the word processor could make a finished newsletter easy? If you had this contact management software, wouldn't it help you keep better track of your clients? Can you see how this program would automate your regular backups? It would, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be nice to fax right from Windows? Wouldn't you like to do this yourself? Research has shown that if a salesperson can get a customer to say yes through trial close questions, a sale will likely take place. Dale Carnegie Training has taught for decades that getting the other person to say yes establishes a positive basis for cooperation. It's also helpful to nod your head up and down. The theory is that the buyer will nod with you.
Remember that closing is just asking a question. Odds are they're just waiting for that question to be asked. One of my favorite questions is just, any hesitations? I want to get those hesitations out right away. So just any hesitations? We need to remember that silence is okay. It's okay to allow silence and allow them to think after we ask a question. Another one of my favorites is just to say, wow, it's a good thing we talked today.
Using trial close questions in the presentation is like going down Main Street through traffic lights. As long as the lights are green, you can keep on going. If you ever come to a red light, you have to stop. At the yellow lights, you either proceed cautiously or come to a stop. At that point, a change has to take place before you can proceed down the street. When a customer responds negatively to trial close questions, the salesperson needs to shorten the presentation, or if necessary, gracefully finish up and move to another appointment. When drivers see red lights or green lights, they pretty well know what to do. It's what to do on the yellow lights that causes trouble. This is part of the difficulty with trial closes. When a customer responds to trial close questions with maybes or indecision, the salesperson needs to proceed with caution by providing more information and perhaps by asking additional trial close questions. The important thing is to appropriately bring the customer to a point of decision, even if the decision is not to purchase the product or service. With this in mind, it should be clear that trial closes will take you only so far. A sales pro also needs to ask directly for the sale at the appropriate point in the presentation. Reluctance to ask a customer to buy is one of the biggest obstacles to success, especially at the beginning of a sales career. So how can this reluctance, or hesitation, or even fear, be dealt with? When asking for the order, it's extremely important to have a highly positive mental attitude. Have certainty that your clients are going to buy, and never doubt their intentions to do so. Your certainty will positively affect the customer's own confidence and attitude in making a decision. By the same token, you want to help the buyers to know that the decision is theirs, not yours. The wrong kind of pressure can force a sale that will only be canceled later. Your best option is to convey a low-key sense of certainty, and you must always be eager to help buyers see how your product will make their lives easier. The purpose of all your questions during the presentation, whether they're trial closes or asking for the order once and for all, is to make it easier for the buyer to reach a decision. Your goal is simply to bring your customers to a point of decision. You want them to overcome their natural tendency to procrastinate in a sales encounter. In order to do that, you will probably need to overcome some natural tendencies of your own.
The important thing is to appropriately bring the customer to a point of decision. There is a particular approach in selling like a pro called understatement. And that means that you should understate and not overstate what your product will do. And it consists of a couple of steps. First, you have to state what it won't do, and then what it will do by comparison. So it sounds something like this. So I can't guarantee that 100% of your people will be totally satisfied with the training. What I can tell you is that in our national assessment scores, 85% of the time we have either met or exceeded expectations. So understatement is saying what it won't do and what it will do by comparison.
Once you have asked the closing question, once you have clearly requested the order, say no more. It's a principle of salesmanship that the next person to speak will be the one who walks out of the room with the product. Either it will still be yours because you failed to sell it, or it will be the customer's because he or she bought it. When you ask the closing question, you must allow the prospects a chance to answer. They may answer with an objection. If so, handle it. Give one more reason to buy, and ask for the order again. Or if the customer agrees to buy, immediately complete any paperwork. Do not stall. Do not ask any further questions or offer any further information. Fortunately for you, the time for that has passed.
It's important to keep in mind, get the order, and get out.
My previous boss told a story when he was selling insurance, and he was training, and he was in someone's house talking to a woman, and the person he was training with just kept talking and talking and talking, and the woman had a little girl, and she kept pulling at her mom's arm, and she was saying, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, are you going to buy it? Are you going to buy it?" And the mom turned and looked at her and said, "Yes, honey, I am, as soon as the nice gentleman stops talking." And it reminds me, sometimes we can just talk ourselves out of a sale. We just keep talking and talking and talking because we're afraid to ask the closing question. Just, so what do you think? Is this what you're looking for? It can be so simple if we just take a deep breath and do it.
One of the greatest lessons a salesperson can learn is how to close sales without any pressure. Pressure is felt when a prospect says no, and then the salesperson attempts to close again without giving the prospect another reason to buy. When the prospect says no, he is really saying, "Based on the information you have presented thus far, I am not interested. But if you can show me a significant benefit that I may have overlooked, I would gladly change my mind." Very bluntly, what they're saying is this: you must give one more reason to buy before closing again. So, do what the buyer is asking. There are lots of ways to accomplish this. You can pass along a positive review of your product. You can tell of the benefits other buyers have gotten from your service. You can say, "Oh, I forgot to show you this," and demonstrate some additional features of what you have for sale. Be creative and respond to the need that the buyer is communicating to you. Once you have shown your buyer additional reasons why the product will help him, then and only then should you close again. If your buyers hesitate to answer when you ask for the order, then just wait. It may take a minute or two, but you must say nothing. You must get a response, one way or the other. If there is a relatively short pause, the buyers may just be balancing the budget in their own mind. Give them time to get that done. If the pause is significantly longer, you can proceed to physical action and start filling out the order form. This will get a response. It may or may not be the one you want, but remember, the purpose of the commitment is to complete the sale, because it's time for that to happen. Newcomers to the sales profession sometimes make the mistake of asking for the order at the wrong point in the presentation. You want to ask this question at an emotional high point for the buyer. That's one reason it's a good idea to get the price out into the open early in the meeting. When you're speaking of all the good things your product or service can do, the mood of your listeners will naturally elevate. That doesn't necessarily mean they're ready to buy, but they'll be stimulated and interested. If you then bring up money for the first time, there's going to be a letdown, even if your price is very reasonable. So state the price early, then paint the picture of all that you're able to offer. You must get your buyers back to an emotional high. It's not like you're hiding the price, because you've already mentioned it. Trust me, the buyers won't forget the price, and they'll see it again when they sign the order form. Remember, close with a strong and positive mental attitude. Assume your customer is going to buy and never doubt his intentions to do so. By the same token, you want to relax your customer by letting him feel it doesn't matter to you whether he buys or not. Everyone likes to buy, nobody likes to be sold. So create a buying atmosphere. Let's end this session with some principles for closing with courage and confidence. When that happens, the end result will be better for both you and the buyer. Never let your customer feel pressured. Asking for the order if it's done correctly and at the appropriate time, is not a matter of inflicting pressure. In fact, assuming your presentation has been first rate, your buyer is eager for you to ask for the order. If you didn't ask for it, there would be a great deal of disappointment all around. To be successful in closing, you must have the will to win. Selling is a win-win situation or a lose-lose situation. But it's not a matter of waiting each other out. Don't talk yourself out of asking for the order. Either you will get it, which is good, or you won't get it, and you will move on to another buyer from whom you will get it. That's also good. Always be prepared to give the customer one more reason to buy. Once you've done so, always ask for the sale again. Try to break down any distinction between the body of the presentation and the close. They should flow smoothly from one to the other. Be relaxed. Toward the end of your presentation, your buyer is likely to be strongly influenced by whatever form of energy you project. You can make your customer feel stressed or at ease, depending on what your attitude and feelings are. If you relax, the buyers will relax. If you feel trust and confidence, your customers will feel likewise. Be sure to use third-person testimonials. Buyers are always silently wondering, who says so besides you? Don't make your offer too wordy and confusing. A confused customer rarely buys. Make the close as simple as possible. And stay away from any old-fashioned manipulative techniques you may have heard from old-timers who are retired from the profession. None of that is going to work in this day and age. You won't succeed by tricking any 21st century customer into buying. The real reason someone is going to buy from you is always very simple. You've built the relationship through understanding their key needs and found a way to add value to their current situation. Look at objections as opportunities to provide additional information and not obstacles. If you employ a trial close and you get a negative response, that's a chance for you to explore deeper and maybe find out what you might have missed during the presentation. You can even ask your prospect what they would do differently if they were in your shoes. You might be amazed at the feedback you get. That information can give you the energy you need to turn the sale around. Strengthen your confidence every day. That happens through practice, continuous learning, reading, surrounding yourself with successful people, trial and error, and the lessons you learn from every sales experience. In every profession, people make mistakes. And in every profession, the key to achieving huge success is to not make the same mistake twice. So always put the wisdom of your last experience into your next one.
To reinforce the importance of practicing and how valuable it is, imagine that you're sitting in an airport and you're ready to board a flight. You turn to your right and there's a pilot sitting there, actually the pilot for your flight. And I turn to ask her and she says, "Well, I'm a little nervous because this is my first flight." And you say, "Well, haven't you had some practice?" And she says, "Well, listen, I've got a degree in aviation. I've read all the best books on flying and relative motion. I've observed a lot of other pilots, and I've completed all the simulation training, but I've never actually flown." Now, what would be the likelihood that you'd board the plane with that pilot? On the other hand, if she said, "Listen, I've been a co-pilot for 2 years. I've logged hundreds of hours of flight time. I've done dozens of takeoffs and landings, all within a very satisfactory amount of time." Once you see that she has the practice and the experience, you're much more confident that she's the one to pilot your plane. The same is true for selling professionals. Unless you practice, you're not going to have the confidence of your customers that you're actually going to deliver what you say you're going to deliver.
Be aware that people buy for a variety of reasons. There are always emotional factors and rational elements. In general, it's useful to sell on the rational benefits and close on the emotional aspects of what you have to offer. If you fail to do this, you may convince your buyer that your product will satisfy their needs and still not get the order. Pay attention not only to what buyers say, but also to how they say it. Look for the feelings behind the words. And be patient. If a customer seems concerned or hesitant, deal with those feelings before you go forward with closing the sale. Don't try closing when buyers are in a negative emotional state. You'll only arouse further objections, or possibly even anger. That can endanger this sale, and maybe future ones as well. The details of every customer's needs are different, but in the broadest sense, their needs are always the same. In effect, every buyer is always asking you two questions. Do you fully understand the problem I have? And do you have a solution for that problem? Always remind yourself of what your customers really want, which is the feeling that comes from a satisfied need. Then be aware of why they want that feeling, which is their dominant buying motive. They want a certain problem to be solved. They may be hoping for something positive to come into their lives, but they're definitely eager to have something negative removed. Never stray too far from this extremely important principle of modern selling. For a variety of reasons, some of them reasonable and some less so, people may pass up a chance to experience pleasure, but they will never pass up a chance to stop feeling pain. Closing a sale, and selling like a pro in general, always comes back to confidence and caring. These are the core attributes that Dale Carnegie always emphasized. Confidence is the key factor that gives you the resolve to close. It's not only confidence in yourself, but also in your buyers. It's knowing that these are intelligent people who will make the right decision once they have the necessary information, which is what you're here to provide. Without becoming overly sentimental about it, this really is a form of caring. Caring is the ability to believe in the value that you bring to your buyers. Thanks for your attention during this very important session on closing the sale. Now please join me for session 12, the closing segment of Sell Like a Pro.